Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-.
So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Well, here we are. It's the last of the Early Work Lost episodes. These are the episodes lost in the annals of time from the lockdown. Remember that? There was a lockdown, and this one was in 2021, one of many lockdowns. And we recorded a bunch of episodes of Hit Podcast, Early Work, Hit in inverted commas, Podcast in inverted commas. Those episodes were for a series that never came to be back when the show was a Radio X podcast, and now I've been releasing them myself as little bootlegs, and we've had some fun. We've had Hugh Dennis, we've had Lucy Beaumont, we've had Tom O'Dell, we've had Sophie Juker, and now we have Steen Raskopoulos. Absolutely sensational performer. You'll have seen him in various sitcoms all over Netflix and television. Very, very funny performer. But also a jock and an athlete, and someone who didn't want to be a Nepo brother. Okay, and I think that's admirable in today's society. We talk about Nepo babies. He didn't even want to be a Nepo brother. And that is something we must applaud. In this episode, Steen goes through a load of sketches that he pitched to sort of uni review that he was trying to get in. Under loads of pressure, it sounds like the SNL process, where you'd write them and then other people would read them out for you. Sounds like a nightmare, but they're scripts, right? We've actually got the dialogue and the stage directions, and therefore I get to do a little bit of voice acting. If you are booking voiceovers, I am available. My rates are competitive. Gamble's getting his Kazoo Yeah You Can money. I'd quite like to offer a rival to that. Kazoo Yeah You Can't, maybe. Anyway, lovely bit of voice acting, a lovely bit of rap name and rap-based politics from Steen. He ends on a sort of inspiring rap, despite the rest of it being sketch-based. And I read him a sketch of my own from when I was but a boy, when I were a young lad at 18. So a bit embarrassing. It's all good fun. And I hope you've enjoyed this little batch of Early Work Lost episodes. Hopefully we'll be coming back soon with some more. In the meantime, you can see me on tour. That's called Spilt Milk, that show. It is mostly sold out, but some tickets are available on my website if you want to look at them. I'm sure Steen's doing some live stuff, so check him out on Twitter and social media and whatnot. And go on his website as well. But in the meantime, enjoy the early work of Steen Raskopoulos. Joining me this week is the incredible Steen Raskopoulos. How are you, mate?
I'm very good. I feel better that you pronounced my name correctly, so we're off to a flyer.
Yeah, do people get that wrong?
All the time. You have no idea.
What do they say?
Steen Raskopoulos, Raskopoulos. Santa called me Satan one year, and then it took me like, what? You're supposed to know my name all the time. And then like, that's how I found out that he wasn't real.
Oh, shit. He's not real.
I mean, yeah.
Fair play. Well, I think it's, to me, it's written exactly as it sounds, and it's the most satisfying name in comedy to pronounce, so I'm never going to get it wrong.
Oh, thanks, man. What a plug. Can I put that on my next poster?
The most satisfying name in comedy,
To pronounce, yeah.
For those of you who don't know, early work listeners, you probably best know Steen for being the first person, I think ever, to hear Sarah Pascoe's Hamlet rap. That's what she told us. She said that she read it to you before she read it on the podcast, and that...
Yeah.
I mean, how did you react?
I gave her the advice when I heard it for the first time to never do it again. So I was very surprised.
It was a very successful rap on this podcast. It went down an absolute storm. People were excited by it. They were people like early rap, it turns out, especially if it's educational.
Yeah, to be fair, when we get stopped on the streets now, it's not like, hey, we watched you on this program. It's like, Hamlet girl? And it's like, yeah,
exactly. Yeah, yeah. A lass in all cool. I know you. Now, Steen, if I had to guess what you were like at school, and I do because it's the first format point of the show, here's what I've written in advance. Right. Every time I think about it, I try to get away from it in my head, but everything screams jock. Okay. Now, obviously, I wrote this before you arrived on this Zoom meeting we're having, wearing a football shirt of the team that beat my team last night, which is possibly the most jock move in the world. But it just screams jock at school. Okay. You're athletic. You're tall. You move in quite a cool way. Now, I hope that's not creepy to say, but you've got a cool gait. You're a confident guy. You're Australian, crucially, although I haven't factored in that so is everyone else. But to me, if you're Australian, you tend to be pretty sporty and a bit of a jock. So to me, it's just pretty route one. Captain of the football team, prom king level stuff. But then I saw a video of you very recently that you posted getting caught making a fake TikTok by your neighbour and doing one of the most desperate climb downs in history. And I watched it and I saw trauma, okay? As soon as I watched that video, I saw trauma in your past. I saw it. It's that top dog to tiny ant in a split second moment, and it did not look like it was the first time that had happened. So the cliche Hollywood version would be that you were in with the football boys and the football team and stuff, and then you like did a musical or something, and then they found out and took the piss. But then they saw you perform the musical and were like, God, he's amazing. This is incredible. We'll actually support this. But that's too obvious. So I'm going to go with you were popular with the sports bros, you were super confident, which prompted you to enter some sort of speaking contest or like debate or something, which they were largely supportive of, but then you absolutely flopped it and choked, which prompted you to take up improv as you vowed never to be embarrassed in a situation like that again, only to years later be caught making a TikTok dance by accident. Also, final prediction is that you had the highlighted mullet haircut that a lot of Australian boys have. Is any of this true?
Man, pretty good. I'm going to give you, like, yes, Australian. Big tick there. Nailed that.
I've got to get some early points.
No, very close, man. Like, you were in and around the area. If we're playing a game of hot or cold, I would say very, very warm.
Interesting.
Yeah, so at school, I was captain of cricket, the first 11, and was vice captain of the combined associated schools, which is, like, the best team made up of all the other schools. I used to play like A's rugby, and then in my last 2 years I moved to football soccer and played in the first there. I was vice captain of that team. But yeah, I did drama at school, but I used to get teased by my friends who were the jock group.
Yes, it is a cliche.
Yeah, I was on like a quarter scholarship in my final year for drama. And when it was called like a Society of the Arts scholarship or some bullshit like that. And when my friends found out about it, they used to call me like a young scholar and just take the piss out of me and made me feel so shit.
Young scholar, which by the way, would be a fantastic rap name today's rap world.
Yeah.
Y-U-N-G, scholar, probably just with an A, no R at the end.
Yeah.
Young scholar, that'd be quality.
And like there would be like the board, your university.
Yeah, the cap. What, that's your like a baseball cap version of the
yeah,
that
would sit
gown
on the O of the scholar.
Yeah.
Yeah, man, but I was like traumatized by that, and I stopped doing plays and things like that for a couple of years because I just copped so much shit. And it was this thing of, you know, I played A's and like first cricket and rugby and football, and these kids used to give me so much shit. And also on the sly, I used to play like Dungeons and Dragons and like Games Workshop with my elder sister, who's like 5-6 years older than me. And I was traumatized if anyone kind of found out. And then in my final year, we went down to play like this tournament. I played a tabletop board game called Blood Bowl. So I still was like a jock within the nerd world because I played gridiron football, but as dwarves. So you used to play like, you could play like an orc team or a human team or an elf team.
Oh my God. Make your mind up. Pick a lane, yeah. Steen, for fuck's sake.
And this kid, Tom, he was there with his dad and he went to the same school as me. And he was like, what the fuck are you doing here? And I'm like, please don't tell anyone that I'm here.
That's the trauma that I saw in the TikTok video. Yeah. That's you being caught out for doing something that you're embarrassed of. That's, I cannot believe that it just... I wouldn't, in, if you hadn't posted that video, maybe we'll put the audio of it in that intro if you'll let us.
Yeah, for sure you can.
To explain for anyone who's not seen it, Steen is doing a TikTok dance outside in the snow to take the piss of your sister, was it?
Yeah, younger sister, done one.
And just as he starts doing this dance, you can hear his neighbour... you can't hear what she says, but it's like, what are you doing kind of thing.
Oh, it's like, right? Looking good. And I'm like, oh, what? No, right.
And then immediately, Steen picks up the phone and rushes over to go, I'm doing it to take the piss. I'm doing it to take the piss. And he's so desperate not to be seen as an actual TikToker.
Oh, man, I hid inside for the day. And I've never met her as well. That's what's frustrating. So she just thinks that I'm this guy, this like, what, early 30s guy that just stands out the front when it's a snowstorm, or what I believe is a snowstorm. I don't usually see snow at all. And then does like this dance for 3 seconds before dropping like a sack of shit as soon as someone calls him out.
I can't believe that. So it's just like this guy turns up at your Dungeons and Dragons Blood Bowl expedition shit, and then you're like, don't tell the soccer boys, because they'll give me even more shit than they give me for my drama scholarship.
Man, but it was like, we'd play a game of like football, and like some of the games, like the whole school, it was compulsory to attend. So you'd be playing in front of like 1,000, 1,500 like students, parents, rival schools and stuff like that. And then all the boys are like, yeah, we're going for the drinks tonight. And I'm like, oh, sorry guys, you know, I've got a family thing. And then I just go with my sister and play with her uni friends. Whilst I played like as a dwarven rogue called Olam Hammersong, like, you know, who used to do rogue attacks all the time.
Oh God, yeah. That's so funny. That's so, yeah. But so you then got back into drama at some point, presumably, because you quit for like a couple of years, you said, doing plays because you're getting too much flack from the jocks. I mean, it's so Hollywood, this story. But then you took off your glasses and let down your hair and you were gorgeous all of a sudden. But then you got back in and did more plays and stuff? Or did you start, is that when you started coming up with your shit yourself?
Yeah, I kind of like stopped doing it for a couple of years. And then our school got really heavily involved in musicals and I wasn't my thing. But I went to school with like Luke Cook, who plays, so I used to do plays with him. And he plays Satan in Netflix Sabrina series. So he's this like,
nice.
Absolute, he like genuinely looks like a beautiful chiseled god kind of like dude. And he was the perfect balance. He was also like an amazing sportsman, but he just didn't give a fuck what other people thought. And I was like, he was always someone that I really looked up to. And
Never become comedians, those people. They never go out there going, well, I need to get laughs now. They're the ones who do go on to have a big career as an actor or like in musical theatre or whatever, because they are just that actual not caring, not needing to be approved all the time. Because you're clearly, if you're in this bind as a kid of, I want the football lads to not find out who I really am, well, obviously you're going to need to be getting laughs every 12 seconds in the future.
Yeah, but I never thought I'd wanted to be a comedian or act or anything like that as well, because that's what my sister was doing. So when I was at school, she was on like a sketch show for Channel 10 back home, and she was like doing all these amazing like uni productions and, you know, being on TV as a comedian and stuff like that. And I thought that was her bag. I always thought I was going to be involved in sport in some way. And then I kind of left school and I was just surprised that, no one knows who I am at this university. No one knows what I've, you know, done previous. And there's no judgment when I kind of got into like doing improv and like being a part of like sketch groups at university. But I never thought I was going to do that, because it was the exact same university that my sister was at. And I used to go like in school holidays at lunchtime to watch her do theatre sports at like their bar. And at Sydney Uni where I went, it was like this like cult like thing. Like 250 students would pack in on a Thursday at 1 o'clock to watch, you know, 16 students perform essentially theatre sports. And I thought like, fuck, this is the coolest thing, man. Like, you know, you just get to drink, you get to like do these like, you know, Whose Line Is Anyway kind of live. And I was just like, oh, that seems like really cool. But then when I got to uni, I was really scared that I was just going to follow my sister in her path, and I didn't want to be like, you know, the brother in the shadow and things like that. So no one really knew for, I think, like a year, year and a half, who I was in terms of like our relation, because I wanted to kind of prove myself in a way as well. And that's,
yeah,
that's
you didn't
want to
get into these groups and stuff just by nepotism.
Yeah, for sure. And like my dad was a professional footballer and captained Australia and stuff like that. So this thing of always living in a shadow kind of vibe was always, you know, oh, you're Peter Iskopoulos' son, or you're Jordan's, you know, you're Jordan's brother, is this thing. And I was like, it sounds so cliche and wanky, but I was just like, I just wanted to kind of find
out. And now
my
it's
own.
Like, oh, you're doing a TikTok. Your sister does those, mate. Yeah. You're copying your sister. You're in your sister's TikTok shadow.
Yeah, or you're that guy that just gets shamed straight away. You've got nothing. Yeah. Like, yeah, that's me. That's me.
At what point did you start wanting to write and script your own stuff?
So at school, we like in some of the drama lessons and stuff, you had to write your own monologues, and you had to do like group performances. So you might get like a theme or theme in a genre and have to construct, you know, a 5-minute group performance on drugs or, you know, depression, or, you know, if you've watched, you know, Mr. G and his performance, like that's pretty much Australian Australian drama, a drama class. So I always kind of wrote a bit, and I started to get into like rap music as well in like when I was like 15, 16. So even that, writing a bit of poetry and trying to be like, think I was a rapper. But I always thought as well, like my biggest mistake with that was someone gave me like, I think someone introduced me like to Tupac first, and then they told me about the beef with Biggie, and they're like, oh yeah, man, you got to choose sides.
Your decision's important in this. Yeah. We really need this young lad in Australia to finally settle this once and for all. Tupac or Biggie?
For four years, I only listened to Tupac. Like, if someone played Biggie, I'm like, I can't listen to it. I swear to God. And everyone played like, oh, man, you can listen.
What did you think would happen to you? You'd get, I don't know. You'd get, I thought, shot like, in a drive-by.
I don't know. Just like, you had to choose sides, and like, I was loyal to Pac and all this kind of stuff. And like, my best friend like loved playing Juicy and like Big Popper and stuff like that. I'm like, no, man, I can't listen to this. And then I think like one of the movies came out, and there was like a remix at a house party. I'm like, oh, this song's great. This is a really cool song. Who's this by? Like, oh, Notorious. I'm like, oh, no, I'm conflicted. It's a really good song that I like.
But I'm going to have to leave the party? Yeah. This is awful. Well, you'll be pleased to hear, well, furious to hear, that on a former episode of this podcast, I played a parody rap I recorded when I was 19 over Juicy by Biggie Smalls.
Amazing.
I played it to Tom Rosenthal in the Tom Rosenthal episode. It's an absolute fucking disgrace. I mean, that if you weren't already loyal to Tupac, listening to that is going to make you extremely Tupac loyal. It's
amazing.
Hideous, but it's a good beat. Oh, look, I like both of them, and I didn't feel that conflict.
Man, I wish someone told me that I could like both of them.
This is so weird because you're always in these conflicts where it's like, oh, do I play soccer or do I play Dungeons and Dragons? But back then you just did both and went, oh, look, I'm just going to hope I don't get caught. I'm surprised you weren't secretly listening to Biggie on the side going, as long as no one tells the jocks, as long as no one tells the east side, then I'm fine listening to Biggie forever.
Oh, my fire up song for rugby, we all had to choose like a track kind of thing. I think mine was So Much Pain by Tupac, which is like a pretty fucking deep song, and all the other like Aussie boys are like listening to like AC/DC and stuff, and then mine comes on and is fucking about loading your clip and putting your gloves on to go commit murder and stuff. I'm like, yeah, that's how a 15-year-old me fired up enough to tackle like these big massive 16-year-old fun rollers.
And then that led to you, so it led to you writing raps and poems and stuff like that.
Yeah, and then more like sketch. I was always interested like in character and kind of sketch stuff. So the first production I ever did at uni was called like the Arts Review. So the University of Sydney where I went, they had faculty reviews. So there was like science, law, arts, architecture, and you had to kind of be an art student or architecture student or med student or law student to be involved in those things. And it was essentially just a sketch show, like a two-half sketch show. The Arts Review always had, you know, obviously like the best talent, I would say, in terms of, because everyone was a performer, a comedian kind of thing, but our budget was just so bad. So to give, this is true, our budget for the whole production for like a four show at the Seymour Centre, which is like a 660 seater kind of thing. So the production budget for four shows there was the same budget for the Law Review after party.
Some after party, I guess.
Yeah, like we always wanted to go, but obviously weren't cool enough.
So what was it, were the stuff that was put on there, those four shows, were they bad?
No, there was like, man, it was like some of the best kind of stuff I've ever been involved with. And like Benny Davis, so the show that the sketch show was called Everything That Ever Happened Ever. And it was like a sketch show which started from the Big Bang to the present day in chronological order. So we did like sketches of you know, throughout history kind of thing. And Benny Davis played Mozart. And Benny is the keyboardist from the Axis of Awesome. So they have a song called The Four Chord Song, which has like hundreds of millions of hits on YouTube.
Well, the most, kind of maybe the most viral song in history.
Yeah.
That isn't by Justin Bieber.
Yeah. So the first time that was ever played anywhere was in this show. Like, it's Benny's song. He came up with it and he played it there. And he always, like, every night standing ovation kind of thing. And then I remember I always had to come out like the next sketch as like in this Scottish William Wallace bit with my face painted. I'm like, oh, fuck. You can't follow a standing ovation
you can't
with a shitty Scottish accent.
What will go on to be history's most popular comedy song.
Yeah.
What was the vibe like when that, like, obviously being close to the people involved in that, when that took off, that song took off, what was the, were they surprised?
Yeah, well Jordan, the lead singer, is my sister, so she was the one that kind of got me involved with comedy and all that kind of stuff. And I think it was Ashton Kutcher tweeted about it, like that's how it kind of started.
Wow, Ashton Kutcher, I didn't know that. Ashton
Kutcher tweet. This was like peak punked. This was like,
yeah,
you know, the number one.
So they thought it was a prank. They thought he actually thought it was shit.
Yeah.
Were there moments when you were performing in that show? So obviously you have to follow that song, but were you performing like this? I don't know if the Scottish one was, but were there bits that you had written for yourself? Is that how it worked, or did you all write together and then like just different people got different acting roles, or did you go, I've written the Scottish bit and I'm going on and doing my Scottish bit?
No. So we all like for the first few weeks, it's all just about pitching. So you like come in every kind of rehearsal and you pitch like, hey, I've got this idea. And then the directors are like, yeah, that's cool. Write it up. I think only one of my sketches made it through, and it had nothing to do with history at all. And looking back on it now, it was so bad. But they just put it like on a skyscraper. It was like the world's first skyscraper. And they'd put us in like overalls and just sat like on a bench kind of thing. And it was just about a guy who was just annoying, who just go, do you know the banana is actually a nut, and just stuff like that, which has nothing to do. It'd just be like
history's first prick.
Yeah, it was just looking, you know, I just remembered it now. That's not even one of the things I brought, but you know, we had sketches about, you know, the Big Bang and you know, Florence Nightingale and caveman and, you know, William Wallace and all this kind of stuff. And then, yeah, the only one that I wrote kind of was just about this awkward guy. I think I was just so heavily involved in The Office at the time. I just watched so much of Ricky Gervais and like, oh, this will be funny.
Yeah.
But I had so many sketches that got turned down, so many. And rightfully so, looking back on them now.
What you've brought today is some sketches, scripts of these sketches. And were these, what's the situation with these ones? Were they the successful ones or were these rejected pitches?
No, these were, so they got through the, like the pitching phase. Like, okay, that sounds interesting. Like you can go off and write it. And then after I came back, they did not even get. Yeah.
Okay, nice. Should we start with one?
Yeah. Do you want to start with Bringing Sexy Back?
Yeah, sure. Bringing Sexy Back. I think I can predict where this is going. Should I read one of the parts?
Yeah, if you play Secretary and Commander, and I'll play Jay Stryker.
Okay, let me
actually, because there's like what do you call it? Actions and if you want to read that as well, I'll just read it. You read everything but Jay Stryker, and I'll read Jay Stryker.
Okay, okay. Bringing Sexy back. Commander is pacing back and forth. His secretary comes in. Sir, he has arrived. Bring him in. Enter Jack Stryker. Have a seat, Stryker.
I don't take seats.
Stryker sits down. Commander looks a little perplexed. Thank you for coming on short notice.
Cut the shit, Commander. Less talky or I walky.
Stryker stands up. They've caught Sexy. It was an ambush in Pakistan. It was supposed to be an in-and-out job, but they knew it was coming. I'm sorry. There's not much we can do for him. Stryker laughs to himself.
Is that all, Commander?
Stryker gets up to leave. Stryker, I know what's going through your head. He was your best friend.
Is. Commander, Sexy is my best friend. And I'm bringing Sexy back. You motherfuckers watch how I attack.
You will not engage in any such mission. Your orders are to return to the front line and serve this country. You will not be bringing Sexy back.
You make me smile.
The commander knows he cannot stop Stryker and exhales a large breath. Go ahead. Be gone with it.
I'm bringing Sexy back. And then the music would kick in.
I've got to say, it didn't actually go where I expected it to.
Where did you expect it to go?
I thought it was going to be someone returning Sexy to a shop and trying to get a refund. Right. I hope you don't mind, but I'm bringing Sexy back. You know, it didn't suit me or something like that. But
well, I should say that this song came out like in 2006, so like the same year. So it was very topical. Like at the time, this would have gone like, oh, fuck.
Oh, I'm sure. Yeah, this would have been. This is your four chord song. I mean, referencing bringing Sexy back. Oh, no, don't worry. I'm not looking at it now going, fucking hell, Steen, this song's not been out for ages. Why have you written this today? I do understand.
And I shaved my head at the time as well. Like I had everything ready to go. And then.
You motherfuckers watch how I attack. Is that a line from the song?
Yeah. And then I think the rest of it as well, like, you make me smile, go ahead, be gone. We're like,
you make me smile. I did that line did sort of stick out, actually, as being very strange. Okay, of course, it's Timberlake.
So what
happened with that sketch? So that you pitched the idea, they said go and write it, you wrote it, you came back, and it was rejected?
Mate, if I'm not in Hollywood at the moment, then you know it was rejected. We didn't receive any kind of any emails or phone calls of cease and desist from Mr. Timberlake's
lawyer. Yeah. Okay, the fact that you're not in prison. So what would have been the vibe when you showed that? Just would you have even heard from them? Did you read it out is what I'm getting at, I think.
And that's a point because you're so... Because it's my first year at uni, so you're kind of meeting these people for the first time, and you kind of, this is like very early on where you're trying to make friends and, you know, not playing all your cards straight away. But the only way to kind of get a sketch in the show is to show and tell, essentially. So you have to kind of perform it in front of everyone. And it sucks, man. We got like 20, 25 people who just don't laugh, or a few of them go, yeah, cool. And then they just move on. And then someone does, you know, some World War II in the trenches sketch and everyone's like pissing themselves laughing. You're like, fuck, what about Timberlake, man? I thought I was really into something. Yeah.
It feels like you're pitching for SNL.
Yeah, but when we started talking before, I remembered when I did pitch an idea that just no one laughed at, and it was probably, like, it still haunts me. I think I put, as you said before, like in terms of like just really put some shit, trauma back in the closet. And when I started talking about this and reading that sketch, I'm like, oh, there was a sketch that I pitched that I thought was an absolute like home run. And you know when you're in a pitching room, or you know, or if you're writing for a show, then you perform and you just think, this is the one, this is the joke that is gonna like knock it. All my other stuff does not even compare. This is my sure thing, this is my certainty.
Sure.
And I remember pitching it as someone like a guy going to like getting to the gates of heaven. Is it St. Paul? Is St. Paul the guy with the
St. Peter.
St. Peter, sorry. And he's there, goes, yeah. And he goes, it was something like this. Like he's like, hey, yeah, you're not on the list. And then the guy's like, aren't I? And then he shows his balls. And then St. Peter's like, okay. And then, And then the queen walks past, and he's like, "Whoa, whoa, whoa, where are you going?" And then she urinates on St. Peter, and he just nods at her, opens the gates of heaven, and she goes right in. And the guy's like, "Fuck, this is so bad." The guy's like, "What are you doing? I just showed you my balls, and she just pissed on you. Why'd you let her in?" And St. Peter goes, "Because a royal flush always beats a pair."
Oh my god, fantastic. I mean, okay, a couple of things I need to address here. Number one, listeners of this podcast, particularly to the Ivo Graham episode, will know that I'm obsessed with poker, and I've been playing poker every week in a poker Zoom during the pandemic. So that is a punchline that's right up my street.
Okay.
Secondly, I'm absolutely thrilled with the fact that you just described an experience in which you had to pitch this sketch, which you thought was a home run. And it was very traumatic for you as you realized while you were saying it the first time that it wasn't good. So I'm very glad I've made you do that again. You've literally had the exact same experience as you have to say this same thing again and just repeat the trauma. And luckily there's a new context to it. But did people get it when you said it before?
Oh, they got it, but they were horrified.
Really? It's like, it does feel like an old gag, like an old joke from a book that like your granddad tells you when you're a kid. It's like the rudest joke imaginable.
Yeah, and I think that's where it came from. I think like my dad or like an uncle told me it like way back when I was like a teenager. And then I was like, oh, like history, like you can talk like heaven and like we're dealing with like religion and stuff like that. This would be perfect for it. And I wrote it like more of it in like a sketch format. And I remember I thought by, you know, and then a guy shows his balls. I thought, okay, we're going to get a bit of a chuckle so I can move on to the punchline. And when no one did and everyone's like, where the fuck's this going? And then when you deliver the punchline and everyone's just like shaking their head. And it's also like you're trying to impress these people. Like it's a thing of, you know, boys and girls. Like, and I went to like an all boys school. So it's like kind of assimilating with like girls for the first time and things like that. And you're just like, oh, this has not done me any good.
Yeah, it really reminds me of, my granddad told me a joke when I must have been like 8. And it was once, like all old jokes, they're at the gates of heaven. Mm. And for some reason that St. Peter's like, you can go back to earth 3 times to like have 3 more experiences or something. And the first two are just like standard. It's like a typical joke where it's like, the first one is like, oh, I want to go back and kiss that girl I never kissed. And like, oh, I regret that. Oh, the other one is, I want to go back and I want to spend more of my money and do that. And then it's like, okay, now what do you want to do? I want to just go back and be Sarah Pippoline. And then St. Peter's like, what the hell's that? And he's like, I want to be Sarah Pippoline for a day. And then he's like, I'm looking through my notes. I don't know. There's no one called Sarah Pippoline. I don't know what you're talking about. And then this woman gets out this newspaper headline that says, Sahara Pipeline laid by 900 men. And to me, Steen, that's the same as your sketch. And that was a joke where when I heard that when I was 8, I mean, there's no world in which I understood that.
No.
So I'm just going like, but I've been told I'm going to tell you a rude joke now, and you don't want to be embarrassed. So you're like, oh my God, that's amazing. Like when you're finally allowed to taste some of your dad's beer and obviously you hate it. And then you have to be like, cool. Oh, yum.
But it's a thing as well now of, I guess because you now understand the jokes, and then when your uncle in and out, because like I'll tell you a joke, like, please do not.
Yeah.
Like, please do not tell that. Like, yes, I laughed when I was 7. I laughed because I wanted to join in with everyone else.
I wanted
this
to be a grown
not
up.
The time. This
yeah,
is not
now,
the time.
Now, fuck it out, mate.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Okay, so what sketch do you want to do next?
Well, this is the same thing. So this is a bit more like in the history kind of vibe. I don't remember it being as badly put down, but I don't remember getting it up either. But this is a sketch about David and Goliath.
Do you want me to read one of these parts?
Yeah, do you want to read Goliath?
Oh, thank you so much. I was hoping you'd say that.
Yeah.
I don't know what it was about me that made you cast me as Goliath, but, you know, I'll take it. Do you need a... Sorry. Do you need a whole
Goliath
army?
Reese, get into a Goliath. He's a big boy. He's a okay. Goliath is a big man.
Do you need a whole army to settle this? Choose someone to fight for you against Goliath, champion of the Philistines. We will settle this dispute in single combat. Come over here and I'll give your flesh to the birds and wild animals.
Enter David, walking across the stage towards Goliath unknowingly.
What? This boy? He's the champion the Israelites have sent to defeat me? Pathetic.
Sorry, you're kind of blocking the way. I just need to get past.
What? You ought to stay and fight me. You will feel the wrath of my blade.
Why would I want to do that? Besides, I don't know who you are or where you've been.
Well, I'm Goliath, champion of the Philistines.
What? You're Goliath? Like, the Goliath?
Yes.
Really? I don't know how I pictured you. Yeah, I'm not too keen to fight, though. Sorry.
Ah, reverse psychology. They did tell me you were a smart one. You won't get me that quick.
No, just want to get a chicken from the markets.
Calling me a chicken? Think I won't kill you?
No, I'm sorry.
What's that there? A slingshot? That's cute.
Yeah, I just picked that recently. Like, I'm not too good.
You're pathetic.
Well, I'm just inexperienced. Like, I dabble in it time to time. He takes it out and begins to swing it around. The slingshot flies out of his hand and hits Goliath in the eye after bouncing around the room.
Ah, my eye! You got my eye!
Oh, Goliath, I'm so sorry. I didn't mean that. Let me help you. David walks Goliath around the stage but notices a lost sheep. Sam the sheep, head back to the herd. Goliath stumbles around the stage and trips over a box, dying.
What?
Oh, just from what I've heard and read, they said you were like 9 feet tall, stronger than a lion, but you're not big at all, and you're only a couple of inches taller than me, and I'm like 5'11".
I am not 5'11".
I'm just, I don't know, like just kind of disappointed, I guess. Like, I'm not gonna lie. I just expected like a giant, big sword, you know, eats people with his mouth whole. You're just small. You don't, you know, might need to take like a bite size, you know, cut up with your small sword. Have you got a fork? No, not like a fork. I assume like, you know, just custom made clothing, but you'd probably buy those from anywhere. Like my friend Tom, he's bigger than you. So maybe I should call him Goliath, but his name's Tom. That would be silly, like your average height.
That's it. Now I'm angry.
I wouldn't even want to fight you.
Why?
Because I've beaten up 3 sheep with my bare hands at the time. You only fight to improve on your best fight. So you're not exactly 3 sheep. Like maybe a duck and a bag of grain, but that's it. Like max a duck and a small cat. End.
Oh, I mean, very nice.
I should have just stopped it at like Sam the sheep.
Was this also pitched when read aloud?
Yeah, but I don't remember it being as traumatic, so
I mean,
I think it's got
like
a bit of potential.
Yeah, I feel like there's a lot in the performance of that. It's all in that speech of my friend Tom's bigger than you. That whole section
has
legs, but
but I was going to say, like just remembering as well, I don't think you got to, like, they just assigned people to read it. Does that make sense?
Right.
Like I didn't get to go like, hey, let me read it how I would kind of do it.
Yeah,
so people
kind
of read it out loud. Like, oh, that's not how I would do it. You know, I might go back. I might go back, have a look at it. Give the Lin-Manuel treatment.
yeah. Make it a rap, like all your Tupac stuff.
Just that rhymes, specifically right. Tupac.
yeah. Only no Biggie style raps for that.
Absolutely.
I mean, Biggie
not.
Smalls is the perfect rapper name for a David and Goliath sketch. So
oh,
that's
100%.
A shame. But so that one didn't, but it didn't make the cut. It wasn't like slammed, but it didn't make it into the history show.
Yeah, no. But it's just, man, when you asked me, I just went back to like my old Google Drive and just, yeah, some of the stuff you find, some of them like, I think I wrote the exact same version of that, but just like Napoleon. Yeah. Like, it's just like this thing of like, there's something here about a big general who's actually a small guy.
Guy who thinks he's big but he's small. Yeah, it's always yeah. funny. It's always been yeah. funny.
I think it was a line of like, where do you shop? Oshkosh Bagosh? It's like, what the fuck does that even mean?
Oh, you were just smart enough to know that Oshkosh Bagosh is a very funny thing to say, and you need to put it in every sketch.
Oh, it is. It's like I've trademarked it in all my sketches now.
It's like, I'm sure that the audience don't know this, but people... Now that I say this, anyone listening will start to realise that if ever a chocolate bar is referenced in comedy, it's always a Twix.
Because, I was like, he's going to say Twix.
Yeah, because Twix has the X sound. Twix is also just not that good of a chocolate bar. But see, yeah, it's one syllable.
This is where we disagree.
Well, no, it's good, but it's not like the best.
No, but like I went like before lockdown, this would have been what, early two? No, it would have been like Christmas 2019. I went to my like old flatmate's house, and they had like a box of celebrations, and we did the whole worst to best kind of chocolate, and everyone put Twix last, and I just found that an absolute disgrace.
I tell you what, my dad grew up in Australia, and considers himself Australian. So we always, growing up, always had cherry ripes and violet crumbles around the house.
Nice.
Quite often he'll do a big Australian order of like Victoria Bitter and like all those sorts of things.
Your dad sounds like a walking stereotype.
Oh yeah, it's ridiculous. I mean, it's like him just trying to reconnect by buying all the most basic Australian.
But also the fact he called it Victoria Bitter and not VB.
Not VB, yeah, yeah. Well, that's me. That's me making it Googleable for the audience. Victoria Bitter, please. One. Yeah.
Man, if you ordered that at a pub in that way, you would not be in that pub.
I feel like not only did I pronounce the T in Victoria Bitter, I feel like I kind of pronounced both T's. Somehow it was just like so overdone. It was like, wow, I get it. I get how it's spelled.
Man, the barkeeper would be like, take your T's and get the fuck out of my pub. Yeah.
Any violet crumbles going? So you've got one more sketch, I believe, right? Is that right?
Yeah. So this was like a IP, so individual performance as part of... my final year drama exam. So I don't know what, like for HSC, like high school certificate, this is like independent kind of markers come in to give you a grade kind of thing of your whole end of year drama as a subject to get your final mark to get into university kind of thing. So I don't know what the equivalent is.
I guess A-level, like an drama A-level kind of thing.
Yeah, so in drama you get to choose... Like everyone has to do a group performance and then you have to do an individual performance. So you can do actual performance, you could do like writing, you could be like a reviewer, you could do like a design or like a director kind of thing. But I chose performance. Sticking with the office theme, the episode of he gets hired by like a firm to go do like a motivational speech.
Yeah,
kind of thing.
Sure. Yeah, yeah.
So that's what this was like loosely based on. And it's called Pride and Penalties. Because why not? And it was about me being like a mascot. So I had this like full-on proper lion suit that I wore. And
nice.
Yeah, it was based on his Gervais's character, like being back, like being this bigger than life kind of character who just is shut down. But from memory, it goes for like 8 minutes, which I think is too long. So I don't know.
Why don't we? Let's do this. We'll do the start. And then we'll fill in the blanks and then skip ahead.
Okay.
But okay, so it starts with I'll do the stage directions.
Okay.
Slowly ascending crowd recording.
Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, we welcome you to the Lion's Den this evening as we're about to witness what is going to be a heart-stopper between these two juggernauts, the Fremantle Flamingos and your Lopkin Lions. Let's hear you Lion roar, fans, as a team enters the den.
Queen's We Will Rock You begins to play in the background.
Escorted onto the field by yours truly, the courageous, the animal with the most pride, and king of the jungle, Lincoln, the lethal lion.
Tina Turner, Simply the Best begins to play.
I remember this.
Oh, sorry.
As well.
Just writing down, just for my notes, Simply the Best. And it will be revealed why.
So
lion
this next
mascot.
Bit,
Oh, sorry.
Yeah, so you read it out, I'll tell you what happened.
Lion mascot drives a scooter from the back of the stage onto the field, proceeds to chant while scooting around the stage, eventually loses control of his scooter and crashes past the audience behind stage.
When I did that for the first time, I actually wore like this big actual lion mask. I couldn't see out of it, and I fucking really hurt myself. And the lion like mask came off, and I had a mullet wig, which goes back to your mullet haircut.
It's all coming back.
As it came off, and I was like, I'm okay, come on you carbs, I can't hear you. Lions, Mexican wave, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, hey!
Notices someone in the crowd didn't participate in the Mexican wave.
Oh, not good enough for the wave, are we? Might get too embarrassed in front of the ladies. Oh, look what I wear, and I still get them all the time.
Begins to interact with the children.
I don't know what that fuck means, but I remember I printed out like a photo of me on my bed wearing the lion suit, like in a very like sexual kind of pose, and I autographed it as like Lincoln, and I like handed it always like to like a friend's mum in the audience kind of thing.
I mean, I know you're saying it's based on that episode of The Office, but he poses like that.
I think that's where, like, resting in a sexy pose on The Office
when they say. And they say, should we just take a normal one? Okay, so skipping ahead, we'll go from this stage direction that's caught my eye. Walks off, taking his chair, can of beer, and mascot head with him as he slams it down in the middle whilst reciting dialogue.
Sent from the field? He's got to be kidding. I've been with this club for 10 years and have never been sent from the field. I remember the days when Todd the Crusher Phillips would smash the wind out of anyone and not even get a caution. And then they're sending me for scarring... For scaring about 10 guys, it's not like the old days anymore. It's losing the passion and pride that has been bestowed into these clubs for years.
Sees coach walk in and reacts to his hamstring again.
Oh, hamstring. You saw me, did you? Oh, what do you want me to speak about?
Pause.
Yeah, I did have a few drinks before the game. What's that got to do with anything?
Pauses.
It doesn't enhance my cheering or anything. Oh, you know the story there, you know. The story's been completely blown out of proportion by the media. It was a bonding night. I had a few drinks with the boys and we decided to go to the zoo. And I did go into the lioness enclosure, but nothing happened.
Pauses.
Yeah, I hit him. He pulled my tail. So what if there was three?
Pause.
You can't be serious. The entire board needs to sign all the... They've signed them? Yeah, but none of the players would have. They're going to be on strike. They won't play for you. Macca signed them? Well, can I at least keep the suit?
Slowly places the lion suit on the floor, head drops and slowly walks off the stage.
You can take the lion out of the pride, but you can never take the pride out of the lion.
He starts to whimper and slowly sits down on his chair, holding and looking at his head.
You're simply the best. You're better than all the rest.
Blackout. I mean, fucking hell. It's actually quite nice to skip ahead and just go from, hey, kids, to, yes, I had a few drinks, but what's the problem?
Well, I can't remember. I could probably like read quickly, but I think he gets called upon, like someone gets injured and all the players are injured. So it's his first time that he can actually go and play for the team, which he's been trying to be involved with for ages. And then when the coach finally calls him up, he gets scared by like the size of the opposition. And feigns a hamstring injury.
Yeah, fair play. I mean, I like it a lot. The fact it ends on simply the best when you've already told me what it's based on is fucking mental. But that we're going to get onto that now because it now comes to the time where I must score your work on three categories. Okay. And those categories are, first of all, originality. second of all, is pure teen horniness. And finally, is Mickey Mouse Club, Ryan Gosling, Ryan Goose score, which is how close is it to your work now? What potential does it show for the future star I've known you to become? So first of all, originality, right? You've got to lose some marks for telling me you based a sketch on something and then having the exact same musical ending as that sketch. There's got to be some marks down for that. But I'm going to give you some marks because of my prediction for the sexy back sketch being incorrect. Me thinking, oh, this is definitely going to be this. And then it was actually about war. It was about someone on a mission in Pakistan. So, you know, that sort of evens it out. But then again, the royal flush, this, the like an old old jokey feeling sketch that is set at the gates of heaven is not the most original idea I've heard, given that the one old rude joke I can remember from my childhood is also set at the gates of heaven. I think overall I'll go for a 2 out of 5 for originality. How do you feel about that?
Mate, I'll take it on the chin. As a true athlete sportsman, I'll take my losses. I'll improve on them for the next game, coach.
I suppose I haven't taken David and Goliath into account.
Sam the Sheep was pretty funny.
That's pretty original. That is okay. I'll bump it up. I'll bump it up to a 3. I'll bump it up to a 3. okay. And then it's pure teen horniness. There's definitely little bits in there. They're not overtly horny, any of these sketches, really. But there's
I flirt with someone's mum, hand them a photo of myself in a suit on a bed. That's
you do
horny.
Do that. It's like a sexy photo of this lion. And, you know, you do have a sketch about sexy, the song Sexy, Bringing Sexy Back. Plus, you show your balls to St. Peter. so there's, you know, there's got to be some horniness throughout that.
David and Goliath. Queen pissing on someone.
The Queen pisses on someone.
David
and Goliath.
That's a fetish for someone.
Is entirely a sketch about size. So there's, I mean, I think it's all underneath. It's like, well, not all of it. Some of it's very obvious, but I'll go for 4 out of 5 for pure teen horniness. Yes. It's like, it's not as horny as sometimes people come on here and read poems that are basically just like, when will someone have sex with me? But it's not as overt as that, but it's all like, it's almost like immature. Just like, and then I showed St. Peter my balls. It's like, well, this all comes from the same place. So 4 out of 5. And then finally, Mickey Mouse Club, Ryan Gosling, Ryan Goose score. How close is it to your work now? I mean, it's not that close. There's definitely, it's interesting that there's ideas in there that are certainly workable. Showing your balls to St. Peter. Can I imagine you doing that? I mean, not really. Not after what you've learnt from trying to pitch that.
Not at all.
The Queen pissing on someone. No way.
I think after the reaction of everyone, like my balls went inside myself.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, and then you never showed your balls again.
Never saw them again, yeah.
I'll go 2 out of 5, which means that your score overall is 9 out of 15, which is pretty solid. Now, to level the playing field comes to the point where I must read you something of mine. This is a sketch that I wrote when I was like 18. I had done at least a couple of stand-up gigs by this point. So it's almost unforgivable to think this is funny at that stage. But I was 18, so I was also fucking rubbish. Okay. The sketch is called Freudian Slip or Fall at Work, which I would have thought was a fucking genius premise. I would have thought was just so smart. And obviously it's a parody of like those adverts. So if you go for the stage directions and I'll read the rest.
A man in a suit walks slowly through a dingy grey office as he presents to the camera.
Have you had a Freudian slip or fall at work? Were you totally humiliated by the inner workings of your perverted subconscious? Do your co-workers resent your continued employment? The National Freudian Helpline can help you claim the compensation you deserve. Just like we did for this tragic gentleman.
Cuts to reenactment of man's Freudian slip with voiceover.
I was just stood by the water cooler telling hilarious jokes when the intern Janice walked over, looking gorgeous with no warning signs. Oh, hi Janice. I like your boobs. Are they new? Boots! Boots! She looked at me like I was disgusting.
Meanwhile, a shocked Janice throws water over man who looks humiliated and flustered. Slow motion. Cut to man sat on sofa discussing experience with unseen/unheard interviewer.
The National Freudian Helpline were really helpful. They dried all my clothes and told me that it happens to all guys, which really gave me the confidence boost I needed. Plus, they got Janice fired, so this wouldn't have to happen again.
Cut to presenter to camera again.
We at the National Freudian Helpline understand that repressing all of your childhood sexual issues is just part of being human, so we ensure that all measures are taken to avoid any future embarrassment.
Cut to woman on sofa discussing her experience.
People think it's rare for a woman to have a Freudian slip, but truth be told, my sexual appetite is furious. I try to be professional in the workplace, but occasionally things can just slip out, and I'm really grateful for the National Freudian Helpline.
Cut to reenactment. Woman approaches a man at his desk.
Hi, Daniel. Can you get these reports back to me by Friday?
Woman runs off fanning herself. Back to woman on sofa discussing experience.
When the helpline got me my first date with Daniel, I felt nervous and guilty, but it really helped fulfill my desires and cut the sexual tension. Now I just see him as a delicious co-worker.
Cut to presented to camera.
If you think the National Freudian Helpline can help you, then get in touch. And remember, we operate on a no-win, no-fee basis, and all cocks are recovered from the mother's side. Call today on 0808-0800-85-7175. We look forward to hearing from you.
Some mumbling happens off camera as presenter begins to walk out of shot as if finished. To director.
I said, what?
I mean, fuck me.
One thing I need to point out is that the phone number, which I stumbled upon, is 0800857175, which is boobs, tits, right? That's why it's that. It's like the calculator boob number. But I mean, I just noticed it as I was reading it, which is why I did it so badly. But that's the Freudian Helpline sketch. What do you think, Steen?
When did you write this?
I was like 18.
Oh, man. It is... I'd be very impressed. If I saw this as a first-year student sketch show,
it's such a student sketch thing. It's so studenty. It's just an idea of just slip in the workplace and me just being like, oh, I've got it. I would have thought I was such a fucking genius when I wrote this. I would have thought I was the smartest
person in the world. But it's also probably like you went to your first philosophy class, you learned about Freud in the first year. Like, oh my God, boobs, tits, and here we come.
Yeah. Oh God. I think it makes an important political statement about how, you know, they got Janice fired for this guy being a sexual deviant. I mean, it's an important message. calling them out.
Yeah. And in terms of, like, your horniness, you drop in the word pervert, sex, sexual, booze, penis.
Furious sexual appetite.
Like you really, I think the double penis is very good. Back to me, penis. I mean, Friday.
That's a little twist. It's a little twist on the previous one, which is like, man. It could actually, boobs and boots are pretty close, but penis and Friday, nowhere near.
Yeah. And I think the way you delivered as well, like if you're pitching in that same kind of room, I think you would have like definitely won them over. But if someone else is like, you know, these reports me back by penis. I mean penis. I mean Friday? Like someone just butchered it. That's not how it's done.
Yeah, you got to have it ready. Yeah, maybe that was your downfall all along, is that you just had someone else reading out your work and they don't understand you.
They don't.
So I need you to score me on the same categories. So first up out of five is originality.
All right, well, come on. Freud's been around for a very long time.
True. That's true.
I think he's been covered. But I do think
has he been mentioned in comedy before, Freud? I've never seen anything.
You know, originality in terms of like the actual formatting of it, though, very interesting. Turning it as like an old timey, and even like an old timey ad. Like, you know, I was expecting when he said like it was an ad, it was going to be a what's that? Wow, what's the dude on the horse for deodorant?
Old Spice.
Old Spice. I thought you were going to like flip it up with some Freudian Old Spice, right. But maybe went old school. But very well executed, very well in terms of its structure and writing. Very clear to follow. I'll give it a solid 3.
Oh yeah, 3 out of 5. Even though it's about Freud, I get 3 out of 5. Nice. I mean,
penis is always funny, man.
Yeah, like, exactly. It's timeless. It's not unoriginal. It's just... it stands the test of time. Pure teen horniness out of 5.
Oh, you're raging. I think you're a solid 4.
Yeah.
I'd say a solid 4. With just from my examples mentioned before, you use a lot of words. And even when I was reading it, woman runs off fanning herself. I almost read it as fanny, just because of
it's
the...
It's
you've
about sex.
My brain.
It's all about sex. I mean, it's probably happened because I probably had a Freudian slip in conversation. Yeah, I was like, oh God. I need to quickly turn it into art and then you'll be fine. And then finally, it's the Mickey Mouse Club score, Ryan Gosling, Ryan Goose. What potential did it show for who you now know me to be?
I think as like a joke writer and its structure, I think it's very close to you. I think you're exceptional at all those things. But I think it's just too long, mate.
Yeah. It's not as efficient as I like to be.
Yeah, which I think you are. You're very good in terms of your time and your use of words. So I think it has a few sparkles of you, but I don't think it represents you at this current point in your career.
Thank God for that, because it was 11 years ago.
I'd probably give it a two. A generous 2.
Yeah, okay, fair play. Which means that I also get 9 out of 15, so it is a draw, which must frustrate you endlessly as a former socceroo.
But
so should
I'll
we just go play some sport? Or
yeah, exactly. Yeah, we'll finally have to play the tennis match we've been putting off, which I will definitely lose. Now I know about you're captain of every sport. And now we're at the point of the show, the finale, where you will read us one final thing that we will put sound effects under, music under, produce up as a big finale to give this the performance that your teenage self would have wanted. So what is it? I believe this is not a sketch.
No, this is... So I re-signed into my Hotmail email address.
What was the email address?
Scopper_9.
What... What does that mean?
So Scopper like was like a nickname, like Riscopolis Scopper kind of vibe.
Ah, of course, yeah.
And when I set it up, I was like halfback of the A rugby team, which is the number 9 in rugby union. So I always thought like that's my number now. I always wear that on my back, the number 9. So Scopper_9.
Scopper_9. Nice. Yeah. That's rivaling Young Scholar for your... Oh my god, that's your rap name, Young Scopper.
Young Scopper.
Young Scopper _9.
Oh man, yeah, let's do it. Let's sell some merch to your fans.
Yeah, and so this, you found this in your Hotmail.
Yeah, I typed in like poem or poetry, and then it got back to June 2004. So it would have been in like year 11. Would have been 16 at the time.
Nice.
Right. Who are you? Believe in yourself. Otherwise, you're an unwanted book on the shelf. Have to be brave in the world, you hear. I'm listening, mirror. I'm standing right here. I want to be me. I like sport and drama. Be happy, then listen to your mama. Tupac said, even when the world is hard, never give up. So here's your time to be a dog and not a pup. Now get out there and show what's up.
It's amazing how everything's tied together in this one simple verse from Young Scopper 9. Is your love of Tupac comes back. You wouldn't possibly have referenced Biggie. You literally say, how on the nose is it that you literally say, I want to play sport and do drama?
Well, that was year 10. So year 10, like that year, was when I stopped doing plays and stuff because all my mates gave me so much shit. So I had like 2 years off when I didn't do any plays, as I said before, and that was one of the years, so...
You know how in rap, often like the phrase "your mama" is in raps, and it's fairly usually derogatory about other people's mothers. Yours is advice to listen to "your mama," but it's just not very often.
Well, I think it's like Pac, like he's got a song like "Dear Mama," I think. So it's probably vibing off of that.
Yeah. And is that just that, or did your mum say just do both?
No, mum, like she didn't even know. I would never come home and say that I was teased or bullied. for doing that. I have to keep up the jock persona at all times.
Yeah, of course. Even with your own mama. Well, what a treat to actually hear a verse from Young Scholar /Young Scopper in the end. I'm so glad you found it in your Hotmail as well. It's just like so on brand for this podcast.
Also, if anyone hasn't logged into their Hotmail in a very long time, it is very hard. So many security checks and fucking numbers and...
Did you have an insane password? Or was it this... Do you still have the same password now?
No, I can't even remember the password. It wouldn't let me in. So I had to like go and send it to like a different email address. I was like a backup, and then I had to go through like an old school thing. Yeah, it was very hard to get to. But once I got in, it was a gold mine.
This is how much Hotmail know we need to not access this old poetry. Just make it impossible so they can't do it. There it was, Dean Raskopoulos, the last of the lost episodes with some absolutely sensational stuff. And as I say, some beautiful voice acting for me. You can't tease that sort of Goliath stuff. I mean, Hugh Dennis has had a stranglehold on the voiceover market for far too long, but I've proven myself with this episode, and if this doesn't lead to riches and wealth for old Reege, then nothing will. I fear that nothing will. Oh, God. I love that Steen was a jock, love that Ashton Kutcher is the reason the four-chord song went viral, and that could all just be part of some elaborate punk. And I also love that producer Neil
left the echo effect on Steen's voice for a little bit of conversation after his rap had already finished. Absolutely tremendous scenes, as always. Thank you so much to Neil for the edits of these episodes way back in 2021 when they were recorded. Thank you to Radio X for all their support with this podcast to begin with. And thank you to you, the listener, not Lou. No thanks to Lou Sanders, who hasn't done this podcast, but thank you to you, the listener, for all of your listening. I truly couldn't do it without you.
Flexibility is great. That's why there's yoga. Flexibility for your insurance coverage is great too. That's why there's United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, United Healthcare Insurance Plans offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. One of these plans may be right for you if you're, say, between jobs, coming off your parents' plan, turning a side hustle into a full hustle, or even missed open enrollment. Want more flexibility? Find out more about United Healthcare Insurance Plans at uh1.com.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.